Welcome to Watch With Us.
Watch With Us.
An inside look into your favorite TV shows, which delivers the latest TV news that you want to know about. Here's your host.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Us Weekly's Emily Longaretta.
Welcome back to the Watch With Us podcast. I am your host, Emily Longaretta, the senior entertainment editor at Us Weekly. This week, we have a great interview, but before I dive in, I want to touch on some TV news because I think there's a lot of news going on, and I figure I would run down some of these topics with you, starting with The Bachelor. Now, of course, as you guys know, we have an amazing Bachelor podcast called Here for the Right Reasons, hosted by my colleague, Sarah Heron. So definitely check that out for a full breakdown. But the short story is that on last Tuesday, Rachel Lindsay was joined by host Chris Harrison for an interview on Extra. I would definitely urge you to check that out if you have not already. During the interview, Chris seemingly defended Rachel Kirkconnell, which is a contestant on Matt James' season right now, who has come under fire after liking Instagram posts that are racially charged and posing in photos at an Old South party in 2018. Chris Harrison spoke out quite a bit about this controversy, and I'll let you guys make your own opinion on that. On a Wednesday, following a lot of backlash, he released an apology. The next day, Rachel Kirkconnell also released an apology 6 weeks after the season has started. So a lot of Rachel Lindsay's comments had to do with Rachel's timing and why she waited so long to apologize. So that's definitely something that's very interesting. And then on Friday, Rachel Lindsay spoke out on her Higher Learning podcast, which I will definitely recommend listening to in full. It is a really incredible interview that she did with her co-host Van Lathan, and spoke about, you know, the culture on The Bachelor and what happened during that Chris Harrison interview. That there's a lot of details. I don't want to go into all of them because it would take up an entire episode. Again, our Bachelor podcast really dives into that. I do want to read one quote that she asks because I think it's really important. She said, quote, "Did Chris Harrison not sit through the diversity training? I'm confused as to how you could have consultants working for you, yet what just happened happens. Are you people going through training? Are they learning things? Or are they just being protected from what we saw this week?" So it's definitely something that is quite intense and a very serious situation, so much so that the day after Rachel's Higher Learning podcast came out, Chris Harrison decided to step away from the franchise. He will not be hosting the After the Final Rose episode following the season of The Bachelor. Of course, Matt James' season is historic as he is the first Black Bachelor. So that is what the focus should be on. So I think that was the right choice. Rachel Lindsay also said that she feels it was the right choice to step away. Next in news, a few other topics. Bridgerton has found its season 2 lead in Sex Education, Simone Ashley. She will be playing the lead role in the next season, so that's exciting. HBO Max boss Casey Bloys shed a bit of light on how Samantha mystery in the new Sex and the City will be handled, explaining that they're not trying to redo it, but the show's about women in their 50s and, quote, "friendships fade, new friendships start. Friends that you have when you're 30, you may not have when you're 50. Now, this is a quote she gave to TV Line. And so I think that's very, very curious that she said that, because it seems to be alluding that maybe Samantha is still around. She's just not in that friend group anymore. A few other topics I want to touch on. Another being David Boreanaz and Nicholas Brendon, as well as James Mersters, have spoken out about the scandal surrounding Joss Whedon, the creator of Buffy. Of course, the guys played Angel, Xander, and Spike on the series, and many people have spoken out in support of Charisma Carpenter after she claimed misconduct allegations against Joss. Nicholas Brendon is the latest to speak out, and he said that he didn't really want to speak on the content because he and Joss had a relationship, and he feels it's not really his place. He said that he will make a statement at a later point, but he wants to really come up with how he wanted to approach that. Now, Joss Whedon has not yet responded to any allegations. Last but not least, you guys all know I can't really talk about TV without talking about the Real World Road Rules Challenge world. And the Real World New York cast is going to be reuniting for a new Paramount Plus docuseries. So I'm very excited about that. I really wanted to talk a little bit about it just to give you guys a little bit of a setup, because I think it's really exciting that this is going to be launching. It's called The Real World Homecoming on Paramount Plus when CBS All Access transfers into Paramount Plus on March 4th. So basically, the cast will be getting back together. Of course, The Real World kind of created the reality TV genre, and it deserves all of that credit. And it seems that this may be the start of maybe some other series from the MTV world launching on Paramount Plus. Of course, multiple seasons of The Real World and The Challenge are available to stream. Not all, but many. A little interesting there which ones they decided to leave out, but that's definitely worth checking out. I can tell you that this is just the start, that there will be new seasons coming soon. So definitely stay tuned for that. Now I want to dive into our interview for this week, because we spoke to Bobby Moynihan, who stars on NBC's Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor airs on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. So here is my interview with Bobby Moynihan. I want to start out, obviously, Mr. Mayor is a hysterical show. Let's talk a little bit about how you kind of came about the script to begin with and how it came to you.
I got super lucky. I was sitting there one day and got a message that Tina wanted to talk, and I immediately answered. Tina came to me and said she was writing the show, and she had a part that she thought I would be good for, and I tried to not cry in front of her.
at this point, when you've done so much success, so many successful comedies, what does it take, obviously, when you have a friend that is an incredible writer and you trust that's helpful, but what does it take for you to want to join a project?
I think having fun and wanting, you know, to work with other amazing people. I think that's what I learned from SNL and from Upright Citizens Brigade, is that kind of, I feel like I thrive in that kind of environment. Getting to be on that show with that cast is, I feel like I won a second TV lottery.
I mean, Ted Danson alone, I feel like you guys have such a great chemistry on screen. Did you know each other beforehand, or did you meet at this point?
No, I don't think I've ever told him this, but we did meet once, like 20 years ago. I don't think I've told him. At backstage at Conan O'Brien, I was doing like some bit, and he handed me a coffee, and I said, "Cheers," because I was a bartender at the time. And he looked at me like, "Ugh." And I was like, "No, not Cheers, like your TV show." Like, oh. And I felt very stupid. But now I get to do scenes with him. Oh. And I'm in awe of it every time.
I mean, the entire camaraderie on that show, it seems like a family. I think that's obviously, when Tina creates a show, a lot of the time that comes through very powerful. How is it on set? What is the vibe like with you guys?
It's amazing. It's funny that you say that. It's crazy. Now that like 6 episodes have aired and I've seen them, it's crazy to me, because I want to shout, like, it's I love the show so much and it's so good, and I'm like we made this in the middle of a pandemic. Like, this is insane. Like, like it really is truly insane that like we got together and made sense. The lines make sense. But everyone was so, you know, we started a year ago and didn't know each other, and then sort of got to know each other over Zoom and through many, you know, world changing events, and then kind of came back together. It felt like a reunion, and the show hadn't aired yet, and we had, you know, we weren't done with episode 4 yet. And like, I keep saying to Ted Danson, it feels like we're on season 3. But like, season 1 isn't done yet, and it's been the best. They're all, I couldn't be happier. You can't ask for a better group of talented people willing to get out there.
I mean, obviously, comedy has such a special place in the world, especially right now, being an escape for a lot of people. For you, did it feel very different being on set, being, you know, doing this within the pandemic, besides the fact that, you know, obviously you're being tested a lot more than a lot of us, but things like that, did it feel different?
I mean, like, it's definitely coming in earlier to take precautions. It felt very safe. And then once they yell action, no, it feels like oh, I get to do this again. This is work. This is what we do for a living. Mm-hmm. It feels nice to get back to work.
Were you nervous at all when you guys first started going back into a set? Because I can imagine that. I feel like a lot of people that when they went back to work during this, it's a mix of I can't wait to get out of the house and this is great, and a little bit of worry.
Yeah, I was completely cool with it. No, I'm just kidding. I think everyone was, you know, apprehensive, but it was so safe, and it was wonderful to see everybody and be back.
Yeah, for sure. At this point in your career, what is it that you prefer? Why is it that you've kind of leaned into doing TV over film? And what is that? Is that a thing, or is it more just that you get brought scripts that you enjoy more on TV?
Yeah, I guess it's just the opportunities that come, and those are the ones that you take, and they have, some of them happen to be more television based, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know how to begin.
I'm just always curious because some actors, you know, it really do lean one way or the other, but it's more about just the quality of things that come their way.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've definitely turned down movie parts because I'm like, I would love to go spend 2 months in Thailand right now. I would love to and do this, but I have a 3.5-year-old daughter who's not like that. And, you know, you got to make decisions. But I live 5 blocks away from Universal, so mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, no, I'll do that.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, why not? So many great opportunities obviously come in TV anyway, so it works out perfectly.
If they were shooting movies within a 5-block radius of my house, I'd be in everyone.
Everything, no matter what, I'll do it. What is it that makes you laugh when you're watching TV? Because there's so many different things on now, and I'm so curious when it comes to comedians, what really makes them laugh?
Gosh, I don't know. It's so weird. I have a 3.5-year-old daughter during a pandemic, so I'm asleep at 8 p.m. Like, I don't watch comedy anymore. I don't want to watch comedy. I want to sleep. It's fun. The only thing I'm watching right now pretty much is Mr. Mayor and WandaVision.
Nice.
Vella LaBelle is making me laugh extremely a lot. She's absolutely hilarious, and she's killing me on this show.
Yeah.
She really did make me laugh a bunch in the last episode. Whenever I just need to laugh or just go like, I don't want to think. I just go watch Zach Galifianakis' Live in the Purple Onion. For the scene with him and Brian Unger, it's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. I'll watch that over and over again. But right now, my comedy recommendations are very boring and not funny.
No, that's not very boring. I think that's a lot of realistic. I think a lot of parents of any, if even, yes, a 3-year-old, but I would say parents of with any kids at this point in the pandemic are at the same boat of just wanting to sleep. So can relate for sure. What do you feel like when you're reading a script, when you're landing a show like Mr. Mayor, what do you hope people get out of it? Are you hoping people just find it funny or really relate to it?
You know, I hope people find it funny. And I think it's, you know, Tina and Robert know what they're doing, and they write really good stuff. And I think it's different than what Tina and Robert used to do, or still do. I feel like, you know, people are automatically going to say 30 Rock or Parks and Rec and stuff like Kimmy Schmidt, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And after seeing the first 6 episodes, I go, it's something different. This is Mr. Mayor. This is mm-hmm. their version of this family. You know, it just happens to be around politics, but this is a family.
Yes.
And seeing that build and grow is fascinating to me. And through their lens of honesty and amazing comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Do you feel like you, obviously the role was written for with you in mind, but do you feel like you kind of tap into Jaden every day? Like, do you when you step into that?
I think I'm very used to SNL or playing a bunch of different roles and having to switch and do different things. And that was one of my kind of favorite things to do on SNL.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's weird to do something for a long time. Again, that's a bit of a character because, yeah, like now I feel like I'm doing, like where I would do Drunk Uncle for 3 minutes, now I feel like I'm doing Jaden for all day. And I used to think, like, oh, like, Tina wrote this part for me because we're similar. And I'm like, no, Jaden's an absolute I'm very boring compared to Jaden.
Obviously, we have to talk a little about SNL because it was such a big part of your life. What is the character that people ask you to do the most or that people, like, relate to the most?
In the end, cumulative. And you would think Drunk Uncle, but probably Snooki. people... If I'm anywhere in New York or New Jersey, someone calls me Snooki, and I love
it. I absolutely love that. Something that I really found interesting, Pete Davidson recently spoke about doing Weekend Update and how much he enjoyed being on Weekend Update because it was just a little bit different than taking on a whole character. Did you feel that way as well, or did you prefer taking on a whole character and really stepping into that?
I think I understand 1,000% what Pete is saying, especially from his point of view, and I completely agree, but I also liked doing characters. Like, it was definitely two different things. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I excelled at Update in the sense of, like, I got a couple minutes to just go, here's this weird thing that I can do, you know, and kind of, like, It felt more personal. It felt more like a comedy club where you could just try and entertain the audience because they're mm-hmm. 5 feet away from you when you're on Update. Mm-hmm. But in a sketch, you know, there's, you got to worry about a lot of stuff. You got to sell the thing. You got to write the structure of it. You know, there's a lot more variables to it in a sketch, but it's all on you on Update. Mm-hmm. And pizza stand-up, so I can get that. But
yeah.
I enjoyed, like, I think I got more of my memorable characters are from Update.
Right.
And I think it was because I was more comfortable there joking around with Seth.
Well, I also wanted to touch a little bit on your role as a voice performer because I think it's so incredible. And I feel like a lot of actors really, really love doing that. Do you find, like, such joy in being able to do voice acting and not having to, you know, get all made up and go into, you know, the set and things like that?
Yes. Yes, I enjoy that a great deal. My career has never been about my appearance, so I love the idea of going to do voiceover. Also, now the idea that I can just do it, I have a voiceover, like, a studio in my closet.
Amazing.
It's even nicer now that I don't have to drive anywhere. The only good thing about the pandemic is the voiceover community is happy they don't have to sit in traffic. But no, I love it a great deal. I think I was just a fan of animation as a kid. I love the process, and I love the idea that you come in and it's a different skill set, and you do something, but then other people are in charge of making it look absolutely fantastic. And mm-hmm. it's just fun to see what they do based off of your work. And yeah, I enjoy it a lot.
Bobby, thank you so much for taking the time to chat today. I hope you get to catch up on some sleep before you have to go back to Mr. Mayor. Take care. Stay safe.
Yep, have a good day.
As always, guys, we're going to wrap up with a few shout-outs, starting with our Woman of the Week. Now, I know you guys are going to say this isn't TV-related, but it is. Just wait for it. My Woman of the Week goes to Meghan Markle because she and Prince Harry are expecting their second child, and I think that's incredible. But also, she will be doing a sit-down interview with Harry on March 7th on CBS. I cannot wait for this because I eat up all things royals. I'm also just really, really excited that they are going to kind of just tell their side of everything. So I have a feeling this will be a great interview. For my woman to watch, I am going to have to go to Women to Watch with Maya Mitchell and Sierra Ramirez because Good Trouble returns on Freeform. Now, here's a rundown of what to watch this week. There's a lot of new stuff dropping. Behind Her Eyes on Netflix. There's a new season of House Hunters, Comedians on Couches on Discovery Plus. The Masked Dancer wraps up with its finale. A new season of The Real Housewives of New Jersey premieres. For All Mankind returns with season 2 on Apple TV Plus. I already mentioned Good Trouble returns on Freeform. 90 Day, the Single Life spinoff on Discovery Plus launches. Season 10 of The Walking Dead returns early on AMC Plus before AMC, so check that out. When Calls the Heart, which is Hallmark's biggest hit show, returns this week. And Superman and Lois drop on the CW. There's a lot of TV out there, guys, so make sure you let me know what you are watching, loving, hating. I want to hear it all. You can reach out to me on social media at Emily Longaretta. I love to hear from you. Also, if you're liking the podcast, please give us a 5-star review. Leave us a comment on iTunes. Any feedback is very welcome.
As always, guys, be nice to each other, stay safe, stay indoors. Until next week.